Turn to Philippians chapter 2, if you would. Philippians chapter 2. Brother Jim, thank you for bringing up my object lesson for me. I can't think of a better way to start a service than chocolate chip cookies, so I can get that to stay up there, and a Gatorade. I mean, this is going to be a good service. No matter what happens, this is going to be a great, great message just because there's a chocolate chip cookie package up here, and there's Gatorade. Philippians chapter 2. We read verses 12 and 13, and here's the title: Work Out Your Own Salvation. Work out your own salvation. Now, the Bible actually says that. We're going to read it here in just a moment. I do believe that the Bible teaches that we are saved by grace through faith. The Bible says, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So the Bible says we're saved by grace. Grace is not something that we earn. A great way of remembering grace is the acronym G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is awesome. It's amazing. It is God giving us heaven even though we deserve hell. It is God giving us forgiveness even though we deserve judgment and punishment. That is grace. The Bible teaches us we're saved by grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith. I don't do anything to save me. I simply trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and He saves me. That is how you get salvation. That is how you get eternal life, by grace. But what we're going to see here, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. What I want to do is take the sermon this morning and explain that and help you as a Christian to work out your own salvation. So Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12. We'll read verse number 12 and 13. So here's what the Bible says: Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Now there's two phrases there. One is, work out your own salvation. The next phrase in the next verse is this: For it is God which worketh in you. Now, we have different ways we use the term work out. All right. So somebody may say you've got a math problem and you're struggling with math. Anybody here in high school and you're working on high school math? All right. Junior high. Anybody junior high working? Junior high or high school math? OK, so you've got this math problem and you're working on it. You're trying to figure it out. And you go to your teacher or you go to your parents and you say, can you help me with this? And they say, you're going to have to work that out yourself. Work it out for yourself. If you find yourself in having problems, somebody may come to you, you may ask for help, and somebody say, you got yourself in this mess, you're going to have to work it out yourself. You know, you've heard it used that way. So that's one way of using the word work out. Another way of using the word work out would be like going to the gym, and you work out. If you go to the gym and you exercise, I wouldn't know what it's like. I have to ask somebody for a description. You go to the gym and you work out, right? You exercise, and I don't even know why they call it working out, right? You work and it's out, I guess. I'm not sure. But you're exercising, you're working out. Another way of working out would be if there's something on the inside that you've got to get to the outside. You'd have to work it out. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Although the idea of the gym and working out is going to come into play in this message this morning. That's why I got a Gatorade, just in case it gets a little too intense up here during the workout portion of our message. Did y'all bring your Gatorades? Got your yoga mats? We all ready to go, right? We're going to work out. Wouldn't that be great? Like workout church, you can get your exercise during the sermon. No, let's don't do that. Amen. Work out your own salvation. I could also say it this way: live your salvation. So here's my starter illustration. This is a pack of chocolate chip cookies. I love chocolate chip cookies. Anybody else like chocolate chip cookies? Absolutely love these. And I'm going to show you how much I love chocolate chip cookies here in just a moment. And but I'm actually not going to eat one because I can't eat and talk at the same time because it just doesn't work out really well. I had originally planned on getting some of the ingredients and you kind of mixing in some chocolate chip cookies for you this morning live, but I'm not good at that. So I've got a chocolate chip cookie here. And what we've got, I need some help, actually. If I was going to make these, you want to help? Cameron wants to help. Cameron, you will help here in just a moment, right? So if I was to make chocolate chip cookies and not go to the store and buy a pre-made pack of chocolate chip cookies, tell me some of the ingredients that I would need. Help me out. You need flour. You need eggs, sugar, butter, soda. Like baking soda? Not like drinking soda. Okay. All right. And chocolate chips. A chocolate chip cookie without chocolate chips just doesn't work. Okay, so if you can picture this, I've got a bowl, and I've got all those ingredients, and I've got them all. I've mixed them in, and the ingredients, the instruction portion of our ingredients. There's two parts, right? There's ingredients and there's recipe. That's the word I'm looking for. Recipe. The instruction part of it says, mix everything and then work in the chocolate chips. All right? If I was just to get my cookie part made and then I put all the chocolate chips in, you just kind of squish it on top and then make my cookies, I'm going to have some cookies that are all chocolate chip. And I'm going to have some cookies that are all flour with no chocolate chips. And so what we've got to do is we've got to take the chocolate chips and we've got to work them in to the dough. Okay, thank you. I'm way out of my element here. I can eat them. I'm no good at it. I've never made a chocolate chip cookie. In fact, whenever we get the pre-made chocolate chip cookie dough, I don't even make that. I just eat that, right? So I know you're not supposed to, but I like it. So you have to work in some things. You work in the flour. You work in the sugar. You work in the salt, the butter. No sugar? The sugar. Okay. Salt? Okay. Just a pinch, not like a cup of salt. All right. So that's why I didn't demo how to do this, right? It wouldn't have turned out so good. Cameron, I'll let you help me out with that in just a little bit, all right? God works. Everett, you want one too? Right, we'll work that out. I've got like 9 of them. We'll see. We get saved. God starts working things into our life. All right, so a lot of times we'll call them the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I'm not going to remember all of them. Goodness, faith, temperance. Think I missed one of them, but did I miss what I miss? Meekness. Okay. So you've got these things that God begins to work into you. And when you get saved, and I'm kind of jumping away from my, I'll get back to that in just a moment. When you get saved, God comes to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit of God, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He takes residence in you. Jesus said, it was in John chapter 14 and 15, He said, listen, I'm going away, this is before He died, I'm going away, but I'm going to send a comforter. And this comforter is going to be there to teach you. He's going to instruct you in all things. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. And right as He was getting ready to ascend up into heaven, next week we're going to be starting a series with this new year from the book of Acts. I am so excited about this new series from the book of Acts. Jesus is getting ready to go up to heaven, and He says, I'm going to give you power. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and I'm going to give you power to be witnesses. And so the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, comes to live inside of you. God lives in you. I can't explain that, but I know it is true, because the Bible says it, and I've experienced the fact that I experience the Spirit of God. When I sin, I grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and I feel that. The leadings of God, the convictions of God, God lives in you. So when you get saved, God comes to live inside of you, and He begins to work some things into you. God works your salvation into you, if we could say it that way. Look at, we're already there, Philippians chapter 2, is in verse 13. With all of that said, this might make more sense. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Most of us, I'd say probably all of us, on our own really don't want to do the will of God. If I was left to my own and I was given a choice, do you want to do the will of God? Do you want to serve God? Or do you want to do your own thing? You want to go party and you want to live like the prodigal son and just go do your own thing? Or do you want to do the work of God? Well, play or work? Which one am I? Well, if I was left to my own, I might just go and do my own thing. But it is God, the Bible says, which worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. So God's working some things in you. You know, there's so much more to salvation than just going to heaven. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says that God forgave all your sins. You become a child of God, and He gives you the earnest of His Spirit. So when you die, you will go to heaven. That is a guaranteed thing when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But there's so much more to salvation than just going to heaven. And as you, when you get saved, God begins working some things into you. Kind of like a baker would work this dough and work the chocolate chips into this dough and into these cookies. God begins to work, and I'm going to go through the fruits of the Spirit. God begins to work love into you when you get saved. Love is being able to give of yourself without thinking of return. So many times, whenever we give to others, we're thinking, okay, I'm going to give to them, but what can I get back? What can I get in return? That's not what love is. That's kind of like a selfish kind of love. It's self-love. It's what can I get for this? Love is, the best example of love is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love was God giving Jesus to die on the cross, even though He would get nothing in return from that. It was to save our souls. It was to forgive us. That's love. And God begins to work love into you when you get saved. God begins to work joy into you when you get saved. To be able to look at the circumstances of life and to be able to know that no matter what happens, I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, I'm a child of God. The Bible talks about this joy unspeakable and full of glory. And then it also talks about the peace which passeth understanding. And God begins to work peace into you. You know, we live in a... You know this. You've been watching the news this week. We live in a tumultuous world. There is so much going on. We're not feeling a whole lot of it here, just with the weather, but there's forest fires up in the northwest, and Los Angeles is these huge fires. We've got four hurricanes, right? Harvey and Irma and Jose, and the one started with the K that hit Mexico. There's all this going on. And you look on social media and people are saying, well, this is because of this sin and this is because of this sin and God's judging. I thought about that. And that may be the case. But if I got what I deserve, it'd be a whole lot more than a hurricane for my judgment. So I don't know all the reasons for everything, but I know we're dealing with it. There's all kinds of things going on. There's executive orders coming from the White House, whether you agree or disagree with them. It makes things tumultuous. It's a challenging time to live. And in all of that, God works in peace. And God wants to work peace into your heart. If we were to go through this life just on our own without the peace of God, there's so much stress, we couldn't deal with that. But God begins to work love, joy. He begins to work peace into our lives. He begins to work patience into our lives when we get saved, and gentleness. Gentleness, a great, great picture of gentleness. I saw a picture of this one time, and it was a picture of a big, tough man, and like a lumberjack kind of a guy, picking up a little baby bird to put it back up into the nest. Now, the man is big and strong and burly, right? You can say it with an English accent, it sounds stronger. Burly man, right? And he's a strong guy, and he picks up this bird and certainly could crush the bird if he wanted to, but he's got strength under control. And God wants to work that into our lives and work in gentleness and work in goodness. And here's a big one, work in faith. God begins working faith into our lives. We get saved. We trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't understand all there is to know about faith. And I'm still trying to comprehend faith even more. I understand that the faith needed to trust Christ as my Savior is just like sitting in this chair. It's just what I put my faith in, just enough faith to take action. But there's so much more to faith, and God begins working faith into my life. And as answers to prayer come, and we pray, and God comes through, and we pray, and God comes through, and He provides for our needs as we pray, and our faith begins to grow, and God works faith into our lives. And God continues work. He works meekness into our lives, and He works temperance into our lives. All these, we'll talk a little bit more about those as we go. And He works these, and we are not capable of producing any of these on our own. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is the result. The result of being saved, the result of having the Spirit of God live in us is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness. Actually, the Bible word for patience there is long-suffering. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all of these things. I can't do these on my own. I cannot love on my own. The Bible says God is love. If you don't love God or you don't know God, you don't know love. I'm incapable of doing that on my own, but because God begins working these things in us, God gives you the desire to do His will. As a 12-year-old boy, Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. Before He healed a blind man, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He says, not my will, but thine be done. God gives us, very much like Jesus, the desire to do His will. But desiring to do God's will is not enough. You have to actually do something about it, so God helps you to do His will. Let me show you where I'm getting this from. It's Philippians 2, verse 13 again. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There's some things that God works into us. He works in these fruits of the Spirit. He works in the desire to do His will. I've met people who, before they got saved, had no desire to do anything for God. But after they get saved, their desires change. God gives them the desires of their heart, gives them a new direction, and they have a great desire to do something for God, to tell people about God, to make a difference for Him. It's God working in them. God helps you not only to desire to do His will, He helps you to actually accomplish His will. Can you find 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13? Find that real quick. I'm going to read you three verses, but that's the one actually, I should have had you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 first. That was two verses away. That's okay. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God helps you to do His will. This is one of the, He works in us. He works our, salvation is not a process. Salvation happens instantly, but He works this salvation into us. And He becomes more evident in our life, maybe the best way of saying it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, God helps us to do His will. The Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. God says, listen, you're going to face temptation in this life, but I'm going to help you to do right. I'm going to help you to do my will. Zechariah, don't turn here because it's going to take a minute. Zechariah 4, 6, the Bible said, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He's telling him how he's going to accomplish his will. Then back at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. God wants us to, He's going to give us this desire to do His work and the desire to do His will. Then He also helps you to do His will. So God works these things into us. His word into us. He works His will into us. He works our salvation. Don't misunderstand me. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is instant. But He works His salvation into us. He fills us with His Spirit, and as we yield to Him, we end up showing God more often. Okay, so our first verse said this. It's in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, and here's the command, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God has been working these things into us. He's been working the love, the joy, the peace, the fruits of the Spirit, the desire to do His will, the ability to do His will. He works these things into us like a baker would knead this dough and work the chocolate chips into it. But then He says, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What He's not saying is get saved on your own. He's not saying figure it out on your own. He's not saying be good enough to get to heaven. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is nothing I can do to attain God's glory. I can't get my way to heaven. Think about this. How much perfectness would you have to do to make yourself perfect? How much unsinning would you have to do? You can't unsin. We are sinners. We've all messed up. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's nothing I can do to make myself perfect. There's nothing that I can do to earn my salvation. That's very clear in the Bible. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. So that's clearly not what the Bible's saying when he says, work out your own salvation. But it makes sense if God has been working in us, working the salvation into us, then he says, work out your own salvation. You are responsible to work your salvation out. It's in there. God saved you. God forgave you. He's working in love. He's working in joy. He's changing you. The Bible says he's made you a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it's there. You are saved. And he says, I want you to start working that out. Don't just be saved on the inside and not let it affect the outside. Allow God to begin working. Allow it to begin growing. Here's what I'm picturing right now. And I don't know why this came to my mind. Remember those old Play-Doh sets with the bald guy with lots of little holes in his head, right? And you load the guy full of Play-Doh. How many of you know who I'm talking about? You load the guy full of Play-Doh, and you put him on this little machine, and you push down this lever, and all the Play-Doh that was inside of him begins to grow out. It's like wild spaghetti coming out of his head. And it's all this Play-Doh coming out. You're working out what was already in there. God has saved you. There's some amazing potential that every one of us has, not because of who we are, but because God is in us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible talks about Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he says, work out your own salvation. Not in a proud, I'm saved, so I'm better than you kind of a way, but in a humble, God has been good to me kind of a way. Your salvation, let me give you a statement that you're going to have to think about. Your salvation won't show on the outside without some work. It's going to take some effort. Most of this effort is us yielding to what God wants to do in our lives. We're saved by grace. We need to continue to live by grace. But the grace of God, that God is trying to work in us and work through us, and he's working it in us, it needs to come out. We need to allow God to work in us. I'm going to try to make this practical here. Your salvation won't show on the outside without some work. You know, insides and outsides don't always match. Aren't you glad about that? Because if my outside looked like my inside, you wouldn't be watching me right now, right? Insides and outsides don't always match. You can be lost on the inside, that means not saved, and look saved on the outside. Insides and outsides don't always match. You may be here this morning, and you look the part. You came to church on a Sunday morning, which is an awesome thing. Most of our society doesn't do that anymore. You came to church on a Sunday morning, and I don't know if you're saved or if you're lost. I don't know what your heart says. I don't know if you're trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're trusting yourself to save you or trusting a false God. I don't know. You can be lost on the inside and look saved on the outside. In fact, I think there's a lot of people in churches today. The Bible calls them wolves in sheep's clothing, right? Lost on the inside, but look saved on the outside. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Insides and outsides don't always match. You can be lost on the inside, look saved on the outside, or you can be saved on the inside and look lost on the outside. I skipped a whole bunch of my message there because I think I need to for sake of time. You can be lost on the inside and say, I'm confused, lost on the inside and look saved on the outside, or maybe you're saved. Maybe you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe God is working these things into you and you're growing as a Christian on the inside, but you look lost on the outside. Did you realize that was possible? Sometimes we say sheep in wolf's clothing, but is it possible that maybe you were a wolf in sheep's clothing? No, sheep in wolf's clothing? Did I just confuse everybody completely? We've heard of a wolf in sheep's clothing, right? You know, a wolf and then the outside wearing, you know, disguised like a sheep. But if you're saved, but you don't look like you're saved, you may just be the sheep in wolf's clothing. I know it doesn't make any sense. Insides and outsides don't always match. You know, you can be saved on the inside and look lost on the outside. That's really what I'm trying to talk to you here just for a moment. These are usually very miserable people. You can have eternity in your heart and live like the devil. You can be saved on the inside and live like you're lost on the outside. You can believe in God on the inside and live like there's no God on the outside. You can have every reason to have the joy on the inside and look miserable on the outside. There's a man in the Old Testament. We're not going to take the time to turn there. His name was Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a friend of Ahab. Both of them were kings. Ahab was a king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was a king of Judah. Ahab came to Jehoshaphat and said, hey, would you go fight a battle with me? Jehoshaphat, southern, right? Jehoshaphat said, yes, I'll go fight the battle with you. So Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, I wish I had little like little faces on sticks. That'd be more fun. Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, listen, go fight the battle with me. He said, you put on your king robes and I'm going to disguise myself. So you've got one king, Ahab, that looks like a regular soldier. He's a king, but he looks like just a regular soldier. Then you've got another man, Jehoshaphat. He's a king, but he's dressed like a king. See, insides and outsides don't always match. Here you've got Ahab, a king on the inside, dressed just like a normal soldier on the outside. This is the story where the Bible says a man, one of the enemies, the Bible says he drew a bow at a venture, bow and arrow, and he just pulls it, probably the last arrow he had on him. In football, we'd call that a Hail Mary, right? Just kind of just launch it and hope somebody catches it. He pulls the bow string at a venture. The Bible says he lets it go, and the arrow shoots and hits Ahab in the joints of his harness right in the back and kills him. Ahab disguised himself so nobody would know that he was a king. He was a king dressed just like a normal soldier. Is that how we're living our life sometimes? We're saved. We're a child of God. God's called us to something greater, and we're saved. And what an amazing, I'm not talking about what you wear right now. I'm just talking about what are you allowing to work out of your life. I'm talking about God is working love into you and joy into you and peace into you. And as you read His Word, you begin to grow, and the circumstances of life come, and we get an opportunity to respond with love or respond with patience or respond with meekness or gentleness. We get an opportunity to work out our salvation, an opportunity to live the way God has been working in our heart. Are you a child of King that's of the King that's living beneath the disguise so that you just look like everybody else? Think about this. As a Christian, God's doing some great things in your heart. He saved you. He forgave you. He made you His child. He's promised you heaven. He's done all of this, and He's working that into your heart. Are you a child of King that... Of the king that just looks like a peasant on the outside? Or are you a child of the king that is striving to live your life, even on the outside, like a child of the king? We don't need to be hidden. We don't need to be undercover Christians. We're not supposed to be undercover Christians. Peter tried to be an undercover Christian, but he eventually let his salvation show. Do you remember Jesus was on trial, and he was facing the different trials that he went to? Peter came and he was watching from a distance, and he was one of the disciples, and a maid came. One of the servant girls came up and said, you were with him, weren't you? You were with Jesus, weren't you? And Peter denied it. He said, I wasn't with him. The Bible says another maid came a little later. Peter was there warming himself by the fire. Jesus was inside at this false trial. They're accusing him falsely. And another maid comes and said, you were with him. I know you were with him. Three times people came. One time somebody came and said, you talk just like one of them. You're from Galilee. You're not from around here, are you? He had a different accent. And he said, no. And the Bible says Peter cursed and swore and said, I'm not like him. Yeah, he was a follower of Christ on the inside, but not on the outside. Trying to be an undercover Christian. He went back to fishing. Then Jesus called him. Jesus rose again. He appeared to a couple of the disciples, I think it was the ladies, and he said to them, go tell the disciples and Peter to meet me. He told them where to meet him. Jesus came, Peter came back to Jesus, and that was at the end of the Gospels, and the very next thing you see is the beginning of the book of Acts, and Peter's preaching to thousands of people. He came back. He came back to Jesus. He died as a martyr. Don't let your salvation just smolder inside of you. You ever lit a fire and it just doesn't quite take off? It just doesn't quite go? Just like a little ember there. If you blow on it, you see a little bit of orange, you see a little bit of smoke coming out, but never really turns into a campfire. That's usually the way my campfires go. I try to start a campfire, it's usually just a little, and I struggle to get the fire going. Don't let your salvation just smolder inside of you. Little smoke, a little bit in there. Yeah, you're saved, but not really anything happening on the outside because of what's going on the inside. Let it out like the blazing fire that it can be. I think it was Jeremiah that said this. The word of God was in my heart as a burning flame. I don't remember the exact words. God wants to come out. He's inside of you. He saved you. He's changing you on the inside. He wants to come on the outside. A fire needs two things. A fire needs fuel and a fire needs air. Feed your relationship with God and let your relationship with God out into the open so that everybody can see that God is doing something in your life. Work out your own salvation. There's a slothful servant in the New Testament that Jesus told the story. The master gave him some talents or some coins, and he took those coins, and instead of investing them, instead of using them, he just buried them in the ground. He had the money, he had the coins there, but instead of doing something with them, he just buried it. And I think so many times that's what we're doing with our salvation. God's trying to do something in our lives. He's working in us. He's working all the fruits of the Spirit in us. He's working a will to serve Him. He's working an ability to serve Him. He's working all that into our hearts, and then we just kind of sit still and don't do anything with it. My challenge to you this morning is to do something with it. Let it out. When God invests in you, He wants you to produce. Jesus walked by a fig tree. He wanted figs from the fig tree. The Bible says he walked over to the fig tree. There were no figs on this tree. And so he cursed the fig tree. He said, "You'll never produce again." They walked back by there maybe a day or two later, and that fig tree had died. When God invests in you, there ought to be fruit. When God works into you, don't just keep it on the inside. Let it work out to the outside. Work out your own salvation. Okay, Gatorade. I don't remember if they're showing these commercials anymore, but I thought it was ingenious. Is it in you? Are they still running those ones? The Is It In You commercial, or have they already switched to a new campaign? Gatorade, Is It In You? I think, I loved the commercial. I just like commercials. I could watch TV just for the commercials and skip everything else. I like the commercials. I think they're cool. Some of them are stupid. All right, but you got this person, and they're drinking Gatorade. I picked orange because orange just shows up really well. And they just drink this Gatorade, and they start running. Then they start working out, and I think this is why we call it working out. It's just an idea. They start working out. They start exercising. And you've got the video of this person. They're running, they're exercising, and they start sweating. And what do they sweat? Orange Gatorade. It was the coolest idea because it was what was in them, right? They drank it up, then they started exercising, they started working. That was in them before they started sweating. They chug the big old Gatorade. I don't know if you're supposed to chug a big Gatorade then go run a lot. I don't know how that works, but the commercial was cool. And so they drank the Gatorade, then they started working out. The Gatorade was there. The Gatorade was in them before they started sweating Gatorade. But then they started working out, they started running, and then there was the drips coming down their face, the bright orange or green or red, whatever it was, and it was awesome, blue. What a great picture here. God is in you. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, and He's working these changes into you, and as you begin working out, it is obvious that God is in you. What kind of working out are we talking about? We're talking about serving God. We're talking about living for Him. If you're saved, then the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. He wants you to start exercising spiritually until you start sweating out the fruits of the Spirit, if we can say it that way. God works love into your life, and He enables you to show His love to others without thinking what you're going to get in exchange. And He wants us to live that way. God works joy into your life, and He enables you to show joy even in adverse situations. God works peace into your life, and He enables you to demonstrate peace. Even when life around you is stormy, you can still have peace because God has worked peace into your life. God works long-suffering into your life. We call that patience sometimes. Long-suffering is a great, I like the words long-suffering because it describes it better. It means going through hard times for a long time. You're going through a hard time. And God works long-suffering. That means the ability to deal with that. God works long-suffering into your life, and He enables you to be patient with those around you, even when they don't deserve it. And God works gentleness into your life, and He works it in, and He enables you to be gentle to those that He's trusted you to care for. Maybe it's your children. I saw something on Facebook last night. It was great. It said something like this: before you go to bed, make sure you get a big cup of lavender tea or something like that. That way you can be totally calm in the middle of the night when you want to scream because your kid won't go to sleep, right? I guess you're supposed to feed your kid the tea, or so I'm not sure what happened. It gives us an opportunity to be patient. You know, there's some people that we have been given to care for that we need patience for. Sometimes when we bring some kids in on the bus, we'll bring them in. They come from broken homes sometimes, and the parents who just kind of let them do whatever they want to do. And they come to church, we expect them to sit still and listen, and sometimes they don't. We need to be patient. That's not a patience that I can just muster up on my own, because I just get frustrated with that. But think about how patient God is with us. Think about how patient He's got to be when I keep sinning and I keep doing things that are wrong. God is so patient with us. And He works that into us. We can be patient with others, and He enables us because He works that into us. And God works gentleness into your life, and He enables you to be gentle. And God works goodness into your life, and He enables goodness to come out. You know, it should always be said of Christians that they are good people. If I was to ask most people and to take a survey and say, what religion would people say are just they're good people? What would they say? You know, Gandhi said something like this. I don't know the exact quote. It was something like this. I'd be a Christian except I've known too many Christians. That's terrible. That's so sad. When I think of good people, I would think Mormons are good people. Anybody else? Have you ever thought that? Well, those Mormons are good people. They're just the way my friends that were Mormons. Now, good people doesn't make you right. It doesn't mean you're saved. It doesn't mean you're going to heaven. That ought to be the way people think of us. They ought to think of people that are Christians and say, Christians, those are people that they pay their bills. They're on time. They keep their word. They're kind. They're good neighbors. Those are Christians. And the Bible says God works in these things, and God works in goodness. God works in faith into our life. And He enables you to begin demonstrating faith. As God works more and more faith into your life, it's your duty to live more and more by faith. God wants us to live by faith. In fact, the Bible says anything that is not of faith is sin. So God says, I'm working these things into your life, and I expect you to start living them every day. Live it on the outside. As God works meekness into your life, He enables you to respond to life's circumstances like Christ would respond. Christ was meek. The Bible says Moses was meek. Wow, what a statement about that man. But to be able to have people attacking you physically and emotionally and verbally, people attacking, Jesus stood there before Pilate. And as He stood there, they were accusing Him of everything possible, and He just stood there, and He didn't respond. The Creator of the universe, who spoke and everything came into existence, who could have spoken and destroyed any one of them that was falsely accusing Him, just remained still and remained silent and didn't do anything against those people. He was meek. And God says, I want to work this meekness into you. God works temperance into your life, and He enables you to yield to the Holy Spirit instead of your fleshly desires. You know, temperance is allowing yourself to be controlled. It's just choosing what controls you. Allow God to control you. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God on a daily basis so that He controls you. On the outside, temperance looks like self-controlled living, but on the inside, temperance is Spirit-controlled living. I just went through the fruits of the Spirit. We won't take any more time on those. God is working things into you. From the day you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, He begins investing in you, and He invests in you, and He invests in you. And so many of us as Christians aren't working that out. We're drinking the Gatorade, and then we're not working out. Nobody knows that we're a Christian because God's doing these things in our lives, but we're not involved. There's no way anybody's going to know that we're Christians because we're not working out that salvation. The salvation God put into us ought to be evident on the outside. The moment you get saved, God begins working Himself into your life. So what are you doing to work out your own salvation? You can't work out your salvation by doing nothing. Every Christian ought to be serving God in some type of ministry. That's what local church is all about. Every one of us. God is working our salvation into us. I hope you understand that salvation is not a process. You get saved once, it's done. But He's working. He's putting these things in. He's working it. Along with salvation comes love, and He puts in patience. He puts in joy. He's working in this desire to do His will. He's working that into us. What are you doing to work it out? Are you involved? I just want to encourage every one of us to get involved working out our salvation. Telling people, do they still carb up before like a football game? You'll eat all the spaghetti and all that stuff. If I was to load up on spaghetti every Friday night and just have or Thursday night, whatever it is, eat a huge meal because I'm carbing up and never go play the football game the next day, what's going to happen to me? I'm loading up on carbs, and I'll eat as much as I can, just like a football player, but never go out to practice, never go play the football game. I'm going to be big and round. When I walk, it's going to be like Jell-O. I'm not going to be healthy. I've got to work it out. I've got to be involved. I've got to be active in ministry. That's how you work out your salvation. One of our goals for our 15th year, starting next week, is to get everyone involved in a ministry where you can work out your salvation. Not to be saved, hope you understand that, but because God has saved you. He's done something great in your life. Every one of us should be thinking, how can I work out that salvation? How can I show love? How can I show patience? If it's all about me, and my life is all about myself, I'm not going to have opportunity to show patience. If it's all about me, and my life is all about myself, I'm not going to have opportunities to show love, joy, long-suffering. But if I'm investing in somebody else and I'm working with somebody else, then I get an opportunity to work out my salvation. Father, thank you for letting us be able to take these two verses and understand them just a little bit better. Lord, I pray that you would help us as Christians to work out our salvation. Lord, the world around us should know that we're saved because of our action. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Pray that you'd change us. Thank you. Thank you for working in us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to work out, to show what you've done, to